Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
The weekly gathering place for over 1 million freedom-loving gun owners. The most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation, yet only slightly better than watching paint dry for the third time.
Hey, already.
There it is.
So we're at the 34th annual Blade Show.
I'm in technical difficulties, Atlanta, Georgia.
Having technical difficulties with our setup. We have Sean Merrill and Doug McDowell in the house.
Gentlemen.
And Doug is a co-host of the God and Guns podcast. And these guys are based out of Georgia, and I hooked up with them social media-wise a while ago, but I met them both in Nashville, Tennessee at the NRA convention, and I invited them on the show because we had some great conversations comparing our two states, a free state of Georgia and a not-so-free state of New Jersey, and a few things came up, and they talk about us to their listeners about what happens in New Jersey doesn't stay in New Jersey. So without further ado, Doug and Sean, please introduce yourselves.
Hey, well, I'm Doug McDowell. I'm co-host for God and Guns podcast. I actually podcast with my co-partner up in Kentucky. And
so one in Kentucky, one in Georgia.
Right.
And you do the show together.
Right. We Skype in.
You've had Cheyenne Roberts on the show.
We have.
You're going to get Sophia Newport on the show
soon.
Going to
get Sophia on.
Okay, good. Maybe you get Evan Knappen on the show someday. If you want to talk about knives, he's right here.
Nobody wants Evan Knappen.
You can't go to a knife show without Evan Knappen popping up. And he's going to be on a little later. We're going to talk. But and what about you, Sean?
Doug and I have been friends for 25 years in the Air Force together. And
they're both vets, by the way. Thank you for your service.
Thank you. And I'd give Doug some assistance with the podcast. That we do some things down there in Georgia. A lot of hunting and shooting together. And
That's beautiful.
And try to spread the word of the Second Amendment and the things going on in New Jersey and up north.
So Sean just also got picked up. He's the chairman for our county. We're both members of Oath Keepers. You know, we all took the oath. Being in the military, and once we retired, you know, that oath's not up. You know, we still took the oath to defend the
Constitution. So you're on a number of lists.
We're on watch lists everywhere.
So are we. So we're all together.
We are.
We'll all hang together.
Yeah.
That's right.
I think Loretta Lynch called last week.
She left a message. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you're being watched.
We talked last week on our show that the Assembly passed that domestic violence bill, and now the Senate is going to vote on it in Monday. It's going to come out of Senate committee vote. They're going to put it on Christie's desk. You can be accused of harassing somebody, just teasing somebody. If you're found guilty, all your guns go and you can never own guns again, which is also in violation of federal law. And we want everybody to listen, and we want everybody from the God and Guns podcast community and all of our listeners to understand that what happens in New Jersey does not stay in New Jersey. This is one of the reasons why we're pushing this Recall Sweeney effort. These guys from Georgia are pushing the RecallSweeney.com effort.
Yes.
Evan Knappen has come forward in support of RecallSweeney.com. I made a $5,000 donation. Guess what? A couple other big hitters made $5,000 donations. I spoke last week about taking the money for your next firearm and instead of buying a gun, donated to RecallSweeney.com. Linda Rose, a Gun for Hire alum and Gun for Hire range member, did just that. She donated $500 that she was going to use to buy her next gun.
Awesome.
This is as serious as a heart attack. June 27th is our rally. Everybody needs to donate RecallSweeney.com. People are saying, how do I get involved? Remember, it's arubian@RecallSweeney.com or go to RecallSweeney.com and email him. For the people that emailed and contacted me, I put you it together with Alexander, but he does need more help. We need more boots on the ground that day. I just had 1,000 pens, Gun for Hire pens printed. I bought clipboards. We're all going to do whatever we have to do. Forget about buses. We are going to carpool down. Remember, three people in a car, one to drive, two to get out for signatures. People keep sending me messages, are we going to have buses? How are we going to drive buses around Gloucester County and get signatures? We need 2,000 people to show up that day. Anything you can donate, anything you can do is deeply appreciated. So, guys, your show, how long has your show been on, Doug?
We just did our 112th episode. So
you've been around.
A couple years. We've been around a couple years. Troy took over He's been doing about a year and a half, and he came through. He's a friend of mine I grew up with in Kentucky, and we've known each other for years. And he came through Georgia on his way back from Florida, seeing his parents, and stopped in. We were talking. He said, "Hey, I'd like to get you on the show one night. Come on, we'll talk about hunting, the old days, growing up as kids, and shooting and stuff." I was like, "Cool." So I came on the show, and it went good. He had me back on again, and next thing you know, Firearms Radio Network, who sponsors our bandwidth for our show, said, "Hey, why don't you get him all the time?" So here I am.
Now, when you listen to our show, do you have to, like, go and Google and fact check? Because you probably don't believe the stuff we talk about. Am I right, Doug? Sean?
Yeah, absolutely.
When we first started listening, we did.
You thought we were full of crap,
right?
No way. Can't be.
No way.
New Jersey.
Well, for instance, the whole Shanine Allen issue, whenever that happened, it's just like, that can't be possible. Some crossing over to the other state, you're going to be arrested.
And it's funny, too, because
go to jail.
We know it's possible, but there are plenty of people in New Jersey who don't think it's possible also, because it's just so bizarre.
And somebody in this room who's not on the mic yet, he'll be on a little bite, said she was the ultimate poster child for this.
Yeah.
Because
when
it went viral, when he contacted NRA News and everything, Evan, people were coming up to me and saying, you're into guns, that Shanine Allen thing. Is that the truth? She's going to go to jail for 8 or 10 years for a mistake? Yes, that's the truth, you know? And it helped open a lot of eyes. But then again, people get comfortable. They get back on their butt, and they're watching TV, and they could care less about it. It's only us that are always fighting, the small few on the margins that are always fighting for everybody's rights.
We were every week we podcast. We did our show. At the end of the show, we made sure we gave updates on what was going on with the case for Shanine Allen. And, you know, I tell our listeners all the time, we're not just Georgia. We're like you guys. We got people listening all over the place, California,
sure,
you know, wherever. And it's like you said a while ago, what happens in New Jersey doesn't stay in New Jersey. Mm-mm. It's going to come out.
You're right.
And we talked about earlier, too. I grew up in California. And in the early 80s, California was a very Republican state. Not
Ronald
anymore.
Reagan anymore. Territory.
Yeah. Once that happened, the whole issue with the illegal aliens back in the mid-80s,
now you got Jerry Brown back again.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And look where California is now today. So
I mean, we're really not sure where California is.
Now, you guys can conceal carry. You can do face-to-face transactions, like what's his name over there in New Hampshire, where you can just person-to-person transactions and buy guns. What's his name? When we come back, we're going to talk about a disgusting case in New Jersey, and I want you guys to weigh in on it.
Okay.
All right. Well, you heard it. It's a warning. We're coming back. For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knapp has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against a state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law. The bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet, and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappen.com, or take the link from the Gun for Hire radio resource page. Evan Knappen, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
Becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed.
And what better way to say I love you than giving the ones you love a gift to keep them safe? Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick, but just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees.
Lipstick Bodyguard. Fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
And this segment is brought to you by Waldorf Chiropractic, WALDORFCHIRO.com. Waldorf Chiropractic is in Bridgewater, New Jersey. You got to go check out Dr. Eric. His Facebook page is Waldorf Chiropractic as well. He wrote a book, Yes, Chiropractic Can Help You. Dr. Eric's going for surgery in a few days. I want to wish him well. It's nothing really bad. Doc, I hope you wrote your check for RecallSweeney.com because Alexander Rubian is going to give me a printout, a list of the names and the donations that the donors made, and I will be making inquiries, okay?
It's nothing about an Italian strong arm.
I'm only half Italian. I'm half German. Dangerous combination.
Very dangerous combination.
So, Sean and Doug, listen to this. In New Jersey, in Berlin, New Jersey, a 39-year-old woman was beat up numerous times by her boyfriend. So she decided to take the police advice, and she got a restraining order. And while she got the restraining order, she put video cameras all around her house and an alarm system. And she was 39 years old, and her name was Carol Bowne, B-O-W-N-E. And while she was waiting for her handgun permit, yesterday her boyfriend, her former boyfriend, stabbed her to death in the driveway of her house. Mm. And when the police department was contacted, the police chief in her town, asking why she wasn't issued an FID card, why it took over 2 months, he blamed the state police and said he didn't get the fingerprints back yet in time. Nappin's nodding his head over there. Question we have, if you're arrested and the cops run your fingerprints, how long does it take to have them come back?
About 2 minutes,
okay,
maybe.
Yeah, now this police chief is in big trouble for sure because someone in the state police is going to take issue with this.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to say, we returned those prints back to you 5 days after you ran. Because the prints are done electronically now. You go for Sagamorpho prints in New Jersey, and then you get a receipt printed out, and the police department gets it in a matter of a day or two. This has been going on for like 40 days, and people are in outrage now in New Jersey saying maybe if she had a gun, she could have shot him. Because he doesn't have any guns because he's a domestic violent offender. Guns were taken away from him, so he used a knife.
Wow, there's a surprise.
He used a knife. So only in New Jersey, right, does this stuff happen. Only in New Jersey.
And so it happens when you disarm the law-abiding citizens.
Good people.
Correct.
Good people.
Correct.
And bad people are still going to do bad things.
It's and like, they're still going to get guns. I'm surprised he didn't have one.
Yeah, well, but a knife is easy. And don't forget, he's an abusive guy, and she put a restraining order on him. And it's like the OJ thing. They want a violent attack. They want an up-close and personal violent thing. And that's what he did. He took all his rage out on her. And this is what we have. Now, we have a 39-year-old woman who was a hairdresser who is dead. Is that outside? Who is dead because of New Jersey's horrible gun laws. So this couldn't happen in Georgia, right? Because your cousin, sister, aunt, or niece would have had a gun.
Yeah. Anybody could go down and get a gun. And it took, when I got my concealed carry permit, it took $72 and 4 days for it to come back.
Did you hear that? 72 hours. $72.
Dollars and 4 days.
And 4 days.
Yeah, it was back in 4 days.
I renewed my permit 2 years ago, and it took, I think, 9 days to get mine back.
Wow.
I'd like to give a shout-out to the promoter, Steve Shackelford, who was so gracious to let us set up and do our radio show here. This is 2 years in a row. Of course, Evan had a lot to do with it. He's on advisory boards for knife rights and
Evan is on the advisory board
and,
for just about
everything. So he keeps it real there, which is a beautiful thing. So this is the stuff that we deal with, guys. The other thing we have that's going on in New Jersey right now is obviously the Recall Sweeney thing, but we just had a high-profile shooting in Jersey City. A fire chief's son was shot in the back of the head like 5:30 in the morning going to work and robbed.
In anti-gun Jersey City.
In anti-gun Mayor Stephen Fullop, Jersey City. Just shot in the back of the head and murdered in cold blood just to be robbed. And this is the stuff that we deal with every day in New Jersey. Every day.
I don't see how you do it. I really don't. Sandy and I were talking about it earlier.
It's just amazing, too. And what the complacency that we face is the fact that even the gun owners in New Jersey, we talked about this last week on the show, too, when the magazine ban came out, right, Evan? The magazine ban came out. Gun dealers were saying that people were coming in with magazines to be pinned because, you know, it's just going to happen anyway. They already just roll right over. and are going to have the magazines pinned on perfectly legal at that point magazines. But that's the mentality of most of the gun owners in New Jersey.
It's like compliance mentality.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
Basically, it just we're disarming the people that are – you have no ability to protect yourself.
No, none at all.
And those people are out there that want to hurt and kill you. And they're not going to give up their weapons.
No.
Under no
and we got lots of them.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
But yet in Kennesaw, Georgia, is probably one of the safest communities in the country because it's damn near mandated that everybody have
mandated.
A gun.
It is mandated.
Is it?
It's in the books.
It's
in the books. You have to have a gun.
All right. So that goes. I'm writing this down because that's one. Right now I'm taking polls here because I want to get so far out of the Northeast that I'm taking polls. Anybody who wants to send in your town and would actually let me move into your town,
that's
which
a
is that's really going to narrow the field down. We just are trying to get out of here. But Kennesaw, Georgia is now on my list.
So we talk about New Jersey not respecting the Constitution. The other case we had in New Jersey where a judge ordered a newspaper to take an article down from their website. Okay, and the newspaper sent the judge a copy of the Bill of Rights and filed a case against the judge in federal court, mm-hmm. and then the judge retracted the motion. I mean,
whoops.
Our judges in New Jersey don't even know about the First Amendment. Forget about the Second Amendment.
Bill of Rights, Bill of Rights. What's the big deal? What is that?
I talk all the time about we need to start judging the judges.
Yeah.
Earlier, us guys, we had lunch and we were talking about like convicted sex offenders and child molesters, and I used to say, if you're a judge and you're going to let a sex offender or a child molester out early, he should live in your house for 6 months. Your Honor, you believe he's safe for the community? Good. Let him live in your house with your wife and your teenage daughters for 6 months before we let him out into the general population.
Let him cozy
and let's
up.
See what the judge says then. Yeah. We need to start judging the judges. So this judge had the stones to order a newspaper to take an article down. And as liberal as the newspapers are in New Jersey.
Because she didn't like the article.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. They tell the judge, stick it, we have the First Amendment behind us, even though our New Jersey papers don't support us with the Second Amendment.
But the precursor to all this, balderaw, was the fact that the prosecutor's office basically, convicted this person, right, Evan? Convicted the person in a press release, did not say allegedly do anything. This person molested his child.
But he was absolved of all crime.
Completely
exonerated. His ex-wife did it just to gain leverage in her divorce case out of retaliation.
And she was blackmailing him, wasn't she?
She was blackmailing him.
Because he was found not guilty, right?
He was found not guilty.
Yes.
And then,
I mean, they didn't even go to trial. Did they, Evan, go to trial on that? Or it was just thrown out?
Not sure. Okay. Better he doesn't
it's
say.
Better, yeah.
But you know what?
It is better.
Stay out of this, Evan.
Evan's worried about getting in trouble all of a sudden.
So you guys listening out of state, you see what we have here? You talk about judicial activism in New Jersey where the judges, they decide they don't want to hear carry permit cases. They decide that they don't want to hear cases. Like Albert Almeida, the judge told him to find new career.
A new job,
A new job.
Find a new career.
Get a new business.
That's unconscionable.
We don't like your business that you're in.
Okay.
You just go find a new business.
See, it almost looks to us from Georgia, it almost looks like the judges and people in New Jersey, they just throw stuff out there to see if they can make it stick. And if you don't have people standing up for your rights, it's going to stick.
That's correct.
Progressivism 101.
Yes, exactly right. And I think it's hubris. I think it is progressivism. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they just know the fact that, well, whatever it is, what are you going to do, fight it?
Exactly.
You know, we literally control the legislature. We control everything. And the whole progressive attitude, you got Governor Christie. Outside of the state of New Jersey, people would say, oh, God, Christie, he would probably make a good presidential candidate. Are you seriously?
No.
I just read this week that for the ninth time since Christie has been the governor that they have downgraded the bonds.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. The state of New Jersey.
Yeah.
And it's just bankrupt. But we're running on empty.
10,000 people a day are fleeing the state of New Jersey.
Can't
afford to live there.
Well, see, one of the other things I hear you guys talk about on the show, which I think is ridiculous, is each of the individual towns when you go get your permits or to buy a gun, everybody's
got
different
rules. They make up their own laws.
They're making up their own rules.
We've been knocking that stuff down summarily. Guys, I want to thank you for being on the show.
Appreciate you driving out here.
Gods and Guns Podcast. Support them, all right? We got Doug and Sean on the show. Thank you again.
Thank you,
Stand
guys.
Strong,
thank
brother.
Thank you, Anthony and Sandy.
Thank you. For many people walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers at each port are bulletproof. They're extra-wide ports so two people can stand side-by-side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well-lit. We also have three times as much light downrange that the average range would have because I believe it's important that the targets are well-lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out, and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction, and bullets can't escape. When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left, you'll see our large classroom, and go back up to the concierge and make a right. We have two smaller classrooms, and those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids and the wife will stay in the cafe with one or two kids and they'll do a handoff. To me, it's very important that people are treated like family. So the bathrooms are very high end. We used marble and Corian and really nice tile and full length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
No rules, no apologies, no holding back. Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. 4 years running.
Freedom. Oh, for the people.
You know, those guys are blown away. Sean and Doug are blown away that we live in such an oppressive state. They can't understand it. You know, we go to lunch, we talk to them and everything. It's amazing. And, you know, Evan talks about the same thing. Evan's in the studio right now.
Welcome, Evan.
And
hey, guys.
He talks about New Hampshire being a free state
as well. You know, I wasn't...
Quiet, Evan.
Okay.
Now, Evan, are you counsel or an advisor for knife rights, right?
I am. I'm counsel for knife rights. So, I've been very active in the knife rights movement. And that's basically what we call it.
To say he's been very active is an understatement. It's a bunch of bullshit. I hung out with Todd Rathner last night, who's an NRA board member, and he's the chief lobbyist for knife rights. And we had a long discussion. Evan helps write the language that they give to legislators to pass pro-knife laws. And think of KnifeRights.com as the NRA for edged weapons. Okay?
Well, the truth of it is that I care very much about these rotten laws going away, and I constantly help those folks like Todd and our good friend Scott Bach. Anytime legislative issues come up, they are free to call me. I never charge. I just want the right things done, and I never make a big deal about it either, because this is what I believe in.
You just wrote the language for Wisconsin.
Yes.
He read it to me last night.
But and it doesn't matter who writes it.
I
don't care.
I just want people
I want it to be the best for freedom, for liberty.
Now, Doug Ritter is the CEO of Knife Rights, and he's always looking for money, and I'm always saying for donations. But if you collect knives, Knife Rights is a great organization. And just so you guys know, in the 5 years since Knife Rights started, they fought 20 legislative battles and bills, which include preemption, which also comes from Evan, and they've won 18 out of 20.
Yeah, you know, let's really talk about this. Seriously, Knife Rights has done an amazing job. Now, it is astounding to look at the progress that the Knife Rights Liberty movement has made. It's in 2010, when New Hampshire was the first state, modern state, to repeal all its knife laws and pass preemption. Arizona, only 1 year earlier, had passed preemption, but New Hampshire also got rid of the ban on dirk, dagger, stilettos, and switchblades. Fantastic. Imagine getting a legislature to repeal a ban on those items. And the thing about New Hampshire, and the thing in New Hampshire was 425 legislators of all different types, because there's 400 persons in the House, 24 senators and a governor, all voted for it. Not a single vote against repealing the ban on switchblade, dagger, dirk, and stiletto.
No wonder you live
in the entire And then we did it again with preemption unanimous.
Wow.
So when you can and each house, the House of Reps with 400, the Senate with 24, and the governor's office with one, all Democrats.
Wow.
Democrat controlled, unanimous repeal. That's why I call it Miracle in New Hampshire. And what it means is if it can do it there, we can do it anywhere. And it took the education, and in nine other states since have done the same thing. And it's amazing, because if you think now, modern age, where else are we actually seeing an increase in liberty or freedom on malum prohibitums? In other words, and really the only thing, honestly, that comes to mind at all, arguably, regardless of how you feel about it, is marijuana. You know, to a certain degree, marijuana is being more liberated. But knives win the prize for freedom and in that amount of time, you know? And it's a movement that's just grown a ton of steam, and that's because the reasons that the knife laws, and here we are, Blade Show, the reason New Jersey's knife laws, the reason we have a federal switchblade act, is all based on propaganda that was fueled by the media. And it goes right back to West Side Story, right? And James Dean, et cetera. And the symbol of the youth violence was the stiletto-style switchblade. And they knew that if you ban that knife, you'll stop youth violence.
Oh, yeah.
That worked great. You know, and this is the mentality. Yet what we tell the legislators today is, look, the Sharks and the Jets, they're in their 80s. You don't have to worry about them anymore. They're not a threat. Not a threat. And the new world today of the automatic knife is such a far advanced tool to the, you know, classic 50s switchblade, which are wonderful knives, by the way. Great to collect. Very well made by handmade, most of them in Italy. But the modern knife is a tool. And the automatic knife is a great tool. It's a knife you can open with one hand. And it's got a feature to it that's very unusual when you look at all other folding knives. It locks closed. It's very rare to find a folding knife that actually locks closed. So isn't it ironic that the ban is on a knife that's actually a safer knife.
The safest knife.
Safest. And then even when you start looking at the band, well, there's plenty of one-hand openers out there.
Oh, yeah.
Manual stud, a hole in the, you know, the Spyderco hole, the ability. I mean, on and on and on. Whatever. There's so many ways to open a knife with one hand. And then we just arbitrarily have this really weird band on the one that, well, you push a button and it opens. We don't like that one. I mean, it's as stupid can be. So once the logic of this gets out, right. Once the logic is seen.
But you need an organization like Knife Rights.
Knife Rights
to
say, look, let's step into the modern world. Let's get rid of these archaic knife bans that create a prejudice on a knife by feature, which is an absurdity.
I mean, like an AR-15.
Right. Same argument, right? You know, the scary knives or not or whatever. So this, and once you break through that, and with knives, We have a tactical advantage right now. We really do. There is no organized anti-knife movement in America. There is a giant anti-knife organized movement in the UK.
Sure.
And they have succeeded in basically eliminating their knife rights in that country. We don't want that to cross the pond and come here. And now is our time to get this reforms in. And we're doing it. And the plan is to finally erase the federal law as well. We don't need that federal law as a base for further knife laws. We're in the same situation that gun owners were in the 1950s, because the 34 Machine Gun Act had passed based on all the Warner Brothers movies, of all the men. You could see the
Al Capone
with the Tommy gun, and we got a band. Same moral crusade and symbolism garbage that gets these ridiculous laws on the books. But in the 50s, we had all these guys and girls, but mainly all these guys coming back from this thing called, come back from World War II. And guess what they thought about machine guns? Hey, that saved my ass over there.
Yeah.
Okay? They had no problem with that. They had no problem with it whatsoever. We could have repealed the 34 Act in the 50s. And I'm not saying it to blame anyone for it not happening, but I just want you to appreciate the mentality that we had guys really familiar with guns. There was no organized anti-gun movement at all in America, and we could have done it, but nobody did. Well, guess what? We're not sitting back now with knives. We're in that same kind of period because we had the 58 Switchblade Act pass. We had all this anti-knife garbage, and now we have a pro-knife movement where people like knives, are used to knives. Knives are in everybody's kitchen, so they're not that alien even, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we can show the truth about this issue, and we don't have an anti-knife movement to deal with. So this is why knife rights is in this wonderful position right now, and you can see the gains. You can see this isn't just speculation by Evan. This is actual freedoms being restored state by state. It's wonderful. It truly is. And eventually, we'll have total knife freedom in America.
Even New Jersey?
Even New Jersey.
Even New York?
I believe so, because they will have to break. It's going to, at least this far, as we get every state and we get the federal law gone, then there may just be that, a couple weirdo states that just refuse regardless of all logic. But you know what? When the other 48 states are all great and there's no federal law on it and New Jersey wants to be, well, New Jersey, what are we going to do about it? But even then, with the education and all, I think we can get it. And finally say, look, everybody in the country is repealed except you. What's wrong with you?
Sure.
And if they say, well, we just don't like them. All right. Well, I guess that's where you're at. But then the freedom has a way here. And what's funny is New Jersey's knife laws are not the worst in the country. The worst knife laws, I just finished my book on U.S. knife law. I studied every state, all the knife laws. I mean, it rated them on freedom indexes. The worst states are actually California and New York. They're the two worst. They just get a one rating. New Jersey gets a two.
Hmm.
The reason New Jersey gets better than New York and California is because it is possible to actually own some of these prohibited knives, like switchblades, daggers, dirks, and stilettos, etc. But the burden shifts to you to have to prove your manifest lawful purpose, right, why you have it. Now, I've won many of these cases. I had a $25,000 collection of switchblades returned to my client in New Jersey, returned by the prosecutor in New Jersey. Because if you can meet that showing
of
the... Yeah, so you can do it. So whereas in the other states, there aren't any exemption. They're per se, they're contraband.
Mm.
Forget it. You don't even have a chance. So at least you have a chance. But in New Jersey, you can't sell switchblades, but you can possess them. You can't. And if you carry one in that possessory offense, your burden's on you to prove that it was lawful. So, it's not great, but it still is better. And I'll talk to you a little bit about how wacky California is. I mean, California wins the prize.
And we'll be back to the only show where you'll be able to hear the phrase, malum prohibitum. Time and memories. The two most precious things you can give someone. No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices. No interruptions. just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present, and no present like time. Step through their doors, and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day, and perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, where family memories begin.
And this segment is brought to you by Montville Executive Suites, montvilleoffice.com. Ron Sousa has 38 offices and a conference meeting room that holds 70 people with all your electronics. Get out of the little corner coffee shop or your mom's basement or kitchen. For as little as $58 a month, you can have a fractional rental, almost like a timeshare where you come in and use it as you pay. And if your business expands, you can get a bigger office. You can even stay there steady if you want. Montville Executive Suites, montvilleoffice.com. Evan, I got a quick email. Jeremy Perez, who had the stones to take Patterson to court.
Perez, yes.
He's missing us. He lives in Atlanta, and he's in New Jersey helping his mom move to Georgia today. And he couldn't be here. I wanted him on the show with you.
That would have been awesome.
And he sent me, he's pissed off because he's up there, but his mom is leaving. She came to visit a few times to Georgia, and she loved it, so she's moving down here now. Yes, Sean and Doug, you have more pro-gun people, but if you guys remember, our listeners, Jeremy Perez, who's the one who went to Patterson and asked for extra paperwork, he's like, I'm not filling this shit out. He hired Evan Knappen. Evan Knappen went in and whacked Patterson's pee-pee, and they won.
Yeah, then we did the same to Jersey City. Then we did the same to East Brunswick. It's now published case law. Every town is on notice in New Jersey. You do this, you're violating the law, you're breaking. And in our opinion now, because we raised this in the appeal, These towns are on notice, and it is our view that if they continue to violate this law, it is criminal, it is official misconduct on the part of that issuing officer. And I would say right now, I'm giving you warning. Criminal charges will follow and will be made.
So you can now hold them
criminally responsible for official misconduct.
Wow.
How much more does it take? The statute says you don't do it. Three cases, including a published case, says you don't do it. You're the issuing authority, and you think you're going to still do that? Then guess what? Nice. I mean, if it wasn't the police doing it, and you went up to some schmo about some law, and they said, look, the statute says it's illegal for you to do this. Three cases say you have no argument whatsoever. It's illegal. You can't do it. Do the police say, okay, and have a nice day,
exactly.
Or do they file charges?
Right.
Especially well, that's what's
when the guy turns around and goes, screw you, I'm doing it anyway.
Right, exactly. So that's what's going to happen to them. They keep it up. There's major pressure on for this. Hey, but just going back, we left the listeners about California.
California. Well, I just wanted to give
a
shout
out
to
Jeremy.
Hear you.
That's cool, good. But California, it's actually hilarious. They ban knives. So many different knives are banned in California. And I've been collecting knives for over 40 years. They banned a knife I never even heard of, and they have to pass three laws for every knife ban: the possession, sale and carry, and then declare it a nuisance so it can be forfeited. Okay, here's a knife that's banned in California. Ready? An air gauge knife.
What is that?
I never heard of it. I even went on Google Images to actually see. They don't have a picture of one. No such thing exists.
Is it like an air gauge?
You know the air
gauge
for a tire?
Yeah.
Supposedly somebody somewhere, somehow, if you sharpen the metal piece and make it locking, that's an air gauge knife. And what just cracks me up about it is, was there some crime wave in California?
Well, apparently,
of air gauge knives?
In South Central LA.
I mean, even if there is such a thing. To take the time to spend all that research to ban, look, you got a freaking weapon statute. If a guy has an air gauge knives and uses it again, you're just charged in possession of a weapon.
Yeah.
No, they've got to isolate this and describe it. And then they talk about every other type of disguised one with separate laws for each one in threes, in triplicate. No joke. Triplicate.
Look at the veins sticking out of his neck.
The lipstick knife.
with the 2-inch thing coming out the lipstick, right? They have to ban it and put 3 laws. And I'm like, if a guy came at me with a lipstick knife, I'm just going to kick his ass. Why do you have to ban that thing? Yeah, the writing pen knife, the belt buckle knife, each one of these in triplicate. It's absurd. It's the most absurd bunch of knife laws I've ever read. And I go, they had to take all this time, all this effort, and do that. And for what? Insane. And yet they're sold a bill of goods over knives that many of which didn't even exist. So that's California. Texas, by the way. No, it is. That's stupid.
I'm going to just kick his ass. And it's,
right. Well, that's it. Come on. Little 2-inch blade.
Go home.
Go home. Now you pissed me off. You came out with a 2-inch blade. You didn't give me any respect. You're going down.
You couldn't have come out with a real knife.
No, come on. That what real knife. Yeah.
Go home. A get a real knife and come
lipstick
back.
Lipstick knife. Don't go Bruce Jenner on me, man.
Oh, shit.
With that.
There we go.
Not happening.
Oh, my God.
Right. So,
here
anyway.
It comes. But you got to understand, I get the hate mail.
I get the hate mail.
Okay. I'm going to get the hate mail for that. What is it, Clarissa now?
I don't
Clarissa
know,
Jenner?
But it's a lot of it. Well, that should out of California.
It should.
Hey.
That's right.
Right. I don't know where the trouble was coming from with all those lipstick knives.
That
make
it was a problem.
Yeah.
You mentioned the altercation. What's about it? You have a tire gauge knife? What
air
the hell is this?
Versus, you just see the gangs there.
Yeah. Oh, with the lipstick.
I got a lipstick knife. Then I got air gauge knife. Shh. Has to push it to a tire on a car in the street so the thing sticks out. Wait, man. Okay. I got my air gauge knife. You're dying.
You can't make shit like
this.
This
is the crap that's out there. You know what I like about Texas? Believe Texas has lousy knife laws, even though you think of it as
broken.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
They prohibit Bowie knives over 5 inches in length.
Wow.
Now, that's pretty obnoxious considering that Bowie was there at the Alamo
with his Bowie knife.
It's specifically written that way?
5 inches, over
that's
5 inches.
Wait,
it's better. The town of San Antonio, where the Alamo is, bans any knife under 5 inches, any Bowie under. I'm not kidding. They prohibit under. The state prohibits over. No, I can't make this up. It's true. So if you're in San Antonio, the only Bowie you're allowed is exactly 5 inches.
That's 5 3/4.
Exactly.
You're going to jail.
Five only. Yeah,
and
it's so funny.
You get the calipers out
it's
now.
It's just hilarious. Yeah. Right.
And then in New York,
they prosecute anybody for any knife that they can somehow call a gravity knife, and that means any folding knife that they can in any way open by flicking and snapping and twirling and looking like the freaking cheerleaders with a baton to get that thing open.
If
they do that, you're charged with gravity knife, no matter what.
There was a case where the two cops in a stop and frisk couldn't get it to open, and a third cop came and opened
it up. Right, exactly. The head cheerleader that really knew how to open
and
do that spin.
Call for backup.
We need somebody to open his damn knife.
Yeah. Exactly. So the knife laws are just all over the place in these bad jurisdictions. And it really is causes real problems for folks, even though it's funny. But, you know, just getting charged with that is a huge pain in the neck. And you can face all kinds of
thousands of dollars
legal fees. And the embarrassment.
They arrested a couple years ago a Boy Scout on a train. He was coming to do a merit badge thing. And he had a pocket knife.
That's it.
And they arrested him.
Right.
And he had to come down the day he was supposed to get his become an Eagle Scout. He had to go to court. This is how New York works.
This is it. So
okay,
yeah. So these are the ones we got to shut down. But
it's crazy.
But the thing is, these bad jurisdictions are luckily in the minority, and the majority of real America. You know, it was a great knife state, Georgia, right here.
Wow,
it's a great knife state.
Another
reason
to move to Georgia.
And they reformed their knife laws,
And they, and you know, they were already pretty good.
Yeah.
But Georgia is definitely a five star.
Okay.
Just like New Hampshire is a
check
five
mark
star.
On the Georgia
Tennessee is a five star. Utah good. Is a five star. Wow. Arizona is a five. These are there's
I'm not
some
moving to Utah.
These are the best states where. Where they don't have this stupid malapprohibitums and they have preemption, and they don't
again?
And they let law-abiding citizens buy, own, possess, and carry knives.
The
That's
two-time
right.
malapprohibitum yeah. station.
Once when we come Gun back, one radio. More segment with the great one.
One more. Thank you, Evan. That was good. The veins are still popping out of his neck.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise. And although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
And we're back with Malum Prohibitum.
Real quick, before we get into it, this segment is brought to you by Philly Gun Training, Philly Firearms Training
and
in
from
Philly.
Maine, from Spring Garden Street in Kennesaw, Georgia.
You know, when Evan was talking about Atlanta and Georgia being such a great state, the whole state of Georgia, the two guys over there, Doug and Sean, were like the freaking cat that ate the canaries over there. I just want to put that out
just
there.
Saying.
They're
just
like,
saying.
Oh, we not only do we have a great gun state, but we have a great knife
great
state.
Great knife
too,
state,
pisses
too.
Me off. When we were walking to 750 vendors today, we got to see Sharper by Design. His name is Brian Nadeau. You got to see the knives he makes. He's in Byram, New Jersey. Rob actually bought one. I'll probably end up buying one tomorrow. But really cool stuff. So we even have Jersey knife makers in attendance here, which is a beautiful thing to see. You don't see that that often in a state like that because we get pissed with being oppressed and we just leave the state all together, okay?
You talking about me again?
I'm because of you. Yeah, I know you want to leave. I can't leave. I also want to give a shout out, Bill Fearon, State Trooper Bill Fearon, who, you know, there are no games, and, you know, he's been an instructor with me for a long time. He's battling the big C right now, and he's going for chemo and radiation, and I know we've been getting a lot of people are interested in his status. He does have a Facebook page, and you can email info at
there
Gun
is
for Hire.
A GoFundMe account.
Yeah, there is a Gun GoFundMe account as well, and you can also email info at Gun for Hire, and Jimmy and the guys will put you in contact with Bill directly if you want. Thank you, everybody who reached out.
Bill's
at this
a really
point,
good guy.
Yeah, we really appreciate the support because we are all family. You two guys from the God and Gun podcast, a little F you for you over there because, you know, you got to see how they're gloating. I just
they
posted
really
a
are.
Picture on Facebook of
it's
them.
Not right.
Really, you're pissing
it's just
us
not
off.
Right.
The other thing is the Spartan race is sold out. So we have 106
the
people.
The entire race is sold out?
No, but
everyone wearing
there's only
armor
40 more slots. We have 106 people. We have our own tent, our own heat, our own start time, et cetera, et cetera. We are the biggest team to compete. And we also, I just hired a Spartan coach who's going to advise the entire team on how to work together to get through all the obstacles and everything. So I just want to thank everybody for that.
Do you have to bring your own suit of armor?
No, but be quiet. The money is going to go to the Second Amendment Women Foundation. If anybody else wants to step up like Paul Ramage and everybody else and donate a dollar a person or something, please do. The last thing I want to talk about is recallsweeney.com. A Rubian at recallsweeney.com, June 27th. We need volunteers. Anything you can do, you can products, services, donuts, I don't care. Paper, copier, fax, like Mike D did, recallsweeney.com, A Rubian at recallsweeney.com. I'm going to start embarrassing people on the air if I don't like the level of donations or commitment. Evan, you're back.
Hey there. All right. What would you like to talk about?
Make us laugh.
I have
make
a question you for you. He told me to ask you, OTF knives,
yes.
Legal, illegal in New Jersey.
Explain what an OTF knife is.
An OTF knife is an out-the-front, and out-the-front knives are considered to be switchblades or automatic knives. But what's really cool about it, most OTFs is that the spring is never under pressure until you're actually using it. So when you push the button forward, you actually compress or expand the spring depending on the design of the OTF, and it gets to a certain point where it releases, and then it flips the blade out, and then it does the same thing on the reverse. So what's really cool about it is that knife is similar to a revolver. You can leave the knife closed forever, and there's no spring under pressure, whereas the classic switchblade or automatic that uses a coil spring or a leaf spring, you're actually compressing the spring, and you know, leaving a knife sitting around with the spring compressed, you fall in the same debate. You know, how long can I leave my magazines loaded?
Right.
And maybe it's okay, but you still don't feel real good about it. But an OTF, you don't have that issue at all. Plus, with an OTF, the entire blade is concealed within the handle, the entire blade, which also makes it so that you can have a double-edged knife. Because in a folding knife, if you have a double edge, well, one edge is going to be sticking out, cutting your pocket and your hand. But in a OTF, you can have the double edge. Now, some people may say, well, why do you want to carry a double edge? And I say it's very simple because they don't make a triple edge. So so that's the deal. So the OTF does allow you to do that. But it still falls under the same category in New Jersey. It would be defined as switchblade. I mean, depending on the model, but most of them would fall under that. And then you're still left with you can possess it in your home, but you have the burden to prove your manifest lawful purpose and all of that. And I wouldn't suggest carrying it because that puts it even harder burden. And then acquiring it in New Jersey would be illegal because it's illegal for individuals to sell them, to transport them, etc. That's under a separate law. But possession is arguably legal if you can put yourself in that exemption.
But not to carry that.
No, not to carry. There's some OTF style knives that push the envelope as being assisted openers, and I believe one was made by Smith & Wesson. It you could swear it's an OTF, but apparently it's assisted because the blade is still assisted. I don't know. It definitely pushes the envelope, but it's an interesting idea. But that's how it works. And there. Yeah.
I just got a post. I posted we're doing a show. Fran Mazza, who's a big supporter, she lives in South Jersey near Berlin, New Jersey. She wrote, Evan Knappen, everyone in Soviet Jersey that owns a firearm needs him on speed dial and have a bail account. I have both. Thank you for everything you do.
Thank you, Fran.
You know, but I got to tell you something. You haven't lived. You're laughing a lot on this show, but you haven't truly lived until you've appeared in court before a judge and a prosecutor, and you've had Evan, Evan defending you. I've had that, and I probably will soon. And we need guys like him. He's out there defining the law. You know, we have Strike Force going on with ANJRPC, and Evan's third case for extra paperwork just strengthens our Strike Force arguments.
Yeah.
Because now the towns, it's like, oh, shit, there's no getting away from extra
paperwork. There is none. They are absolutely blown out of the water with this, particularly now with the published decision sealing their fate. And what's really funny is that decision was actually the least offensive of the others. In other words, Jersey City was the most offensive with all their paperwork. Passaic second, but this was still a problem, duplicative information for the most part that's already asked on the state form. And then I think one question or maybe two that strayed somewhat from it, but still it's not. And that was the published decision saying no good. So there is nothing. I mean, you just cannot do it, period, end of story. You can't do duplicate questions. You can't ask extra questions. There's nothing to be added to the forms. Okay,
period.
It's really straightforward. Yeah. And so that's what we see now. There's a lot of other cases that are pending of interest, and there's a lot of legislation we're looking at federally that's coming up more of more importance. And you'll see national reciprocity is coming up.
It's creeping. It's coming.
I've been using federally. Your towing your party line. It's
but
coming.
Can I tell you the most exciting thing that I'm no joke. I mean, this is something that I woke up in the morning, saw the headline on all the things I subscribe to get all the gun news, and I immediately like woke Bev up. I was so excited. I said, Bev, you got to hear this.
She appreciated
and this is what it is. Oh, yeah. But actually, she did, because she's like, you're kidding. She knows how much. Yeah. No. And that is that since 1992, because of that Schumer fellow in the
Chuck E. Cheese.
Congress critter. Yeah, right. Chuck E. Cheese has stopped the funding of the relief from disability program so that individuals who had convictions that were disqualified them from owning firearms could not get a second chance, could not go and show how they're all law-abiding, they haven't had any problems, they're productive members of society, they want their constitutional rights back, and they're asking the government for this restoration, okay, and their nonviolent offenses, all that, right? Unfunded, and the courts ruled if it's unfunded, it's dead. You
wow.
can't. So since 1992, every person out there who's had a disqualifier that would have otherwise qualified to get their rights back has been barred from doing so. And just within the last week, the funding provision was added to the Justice Department appropriations bill and not blocked. Not blocked, but added, so that for the first time since 1992, as soon as it just went back for a pro forma type vote, and I can't imagine it not being signed on because it's a huge bill for justice. So this is one little aspect of it, but super important. All these folks will be able to get their rights back and not be prohibited.
Wow.
Under federal law, they'd be able to get that waiver.
Phenomenal.
It has tremendous ramifications for people that have suffered under this, and I can't wait for it to become law, and I'll be able to help people get their rights back on this. And I've had many clients where I've had to tell them, I'm really, really sorry, but there's nothing we can do about it. It was a federal conviction, and the only hope you had was a presidential pardon.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, it'll change it all. So that's great. Finally getting the Relief from Disabilities program funded again. Really good news for
that's
lot
a
of good people.
Thing.
You guys,
yep,
Evan,
that's right.
Thank you for being on
hey,
the show.
Hey, my pleasure.
Evan will be at Gun for Hire Friday, July 10th, for his gun law seminar where we do shoot, don't shoot scenarios. Spend 8 hours in a classroom with him. Where are you going to get that where you only pay $395 for it, lock, stock, and barrel, believe it or not? Listen, we have on... June 14th, CPR and AED. On June 20th, basic first aid. June 27th, Kevin Rader is also teaching his wilderness first aid class. It's a two-day class. Talking about everything that goes on, a lot of people lean on Evan. They contact him if they had some problems when they were a kid. You know, maybe they went to a doctor, they were treated, they don't know how to fill out their paperwork. And Evan refers them to doctors and specialists. Well, we have one in-house, Dr. Gianni Pirelli, who's been on the show. And on June 13th, his show, he's going to be in teaching his four-hour seminar. Let me tell you something. Most people don't think they need this class, but in this class, Dr. Pirelli tackles the tough questions head-on. What psychological factors are associated with high-profile shooting cases? What is mental illness? Which diagnosis and symptoms are related to firearm-related violence? What you should discuss and not discuss, how to fill out your paperwork, psychological issues, etc., etc. We know so many people in New Jersey are stressed out, feeling problems. They're afraid to go for help because they don't want to lose their gun rights. They're afraid to report it because they don't want to lose their gun rights. They're afraid if they get caught, they'll lose their gun rights. Well, before you have to pay Evan a fat retainer and fight to get your rights back, why not find out what you're doing and how to respond?
Let me just say, don't listen to a word Anthony said.
I love it. I love it.
He's got a mortgage,
right,
too.
Right. Listen, right. June 13th at 10 a.m., Dr. Pirelli's seminar. I can't stress you enough how important it is. I've taken it. I've spoken with him. I've had to deal with Evan in this issue because of stuff I was accused of, whatever. It's not pretty, ladies and gentlemen. You need to take Evan's class July 10th. You need to take Dr. Pirelli's class, at least the first one, June 13th. Thank you all. Doug, Sean, Rob, our engineer today, thank you. Everybody but Sandy, thank you.
Well, you've done it again. You've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gun for Hire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast is managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, and the Licensed Broadcast Music Incorporated. On behalf of my co-host, Master Trainer Anthony Calandro, and the rest of the crew here at Gun for Hire Radio, we thank you so much for listening. And remember, God and Guns Podcast.com. See you next week.